Hello and welcome. You're watching The Buck Stops here and I'm Barkha Dutt. The Home Minister Rajnath Singh is in the Kashmir Valley and it's now clear that we are seeing the contours of a new political outreach slowly, maybe in a slightly confused way, being put together. But even as the Home Minister touched down in Srinagar, there was a militant strike on the security forces in Pulwama in South Kashmir when a grenade was hurled on a convoy. Several police officers have been injured, an estimated 8 to 9 officers said to be seriously injured in that militant strike. It is worth noting that in this long period of continued unrest, we have seen militants be able to take advantage of the fact that security forces have been preoccupied with containing civilian unrest and continuous clashes between protesters armed with stones and security forces, whether it's the police, the paramilitary, or indeed in some cases the army. Now, as we've been saying, that civilian unrest is continuing. The images you're seeing are also of fresh firing that has taken place also in Pulwama in South Kashmir, where one more civilian has been killed, taking the toll now of civilian deaths to 68. So all of this is happening together. The terror strikes, the grenade on the convoy, and the civilian unrest, those clashes between protesters on the one hand and the security forces on the other, claiming one more civilian life today. All of this as the Home Minister is in the Kashmir Valley and several key separatists were placed under house arrest. Now, let's take a look at, interestingly, what the Home Minister actually said before he headed to Srinagar. This is what the Home Minister actually said. It was a virtual open invite. He said anyone who wanted to meet him. He did not really put any specific restrictions there, except to say anyone who believes in Kashmiriyat, in Jamhuriyat or Insaniyat is welcome to meet him at Srinagar's Nehru Guest House, where he would be staying for the next 2 days. This is a distinct shift in the approach of the government, which initially seemed to take a much harder line. But ever since the opposition delegation met with the Prime Minister, you saw a shift. The Prime Minister reaching out, the Home Minister building on that now. In fact, using the Vajpayee template, Vajpayee, of course, having famously said that insaniyat ke daire mein jo kuch mumkin ho, wo kiya jayega Kashmir mein. Now, Rajnath Singh using, in a sense, the same language. But of course, in the end, no key separatists were among those who met with Rajnath Singh. We'll take a look at who he met in just a moment for now. But before the Home Minister actually headed to Srinagar, he had begun to do his homework in Delhi, reaching out to a group of people, both Kashmiri and non-Kashmiri. Let's take you through some of the names. We have Ashok Bhan. Ashok Bhan is among those who met with Rajnath Singh in Delhi. This is part of his informal track 2 initiative. We are bringing you source-based information here. Ashok Bhan, Kashmiri himself, also has appeared for the CBI in, as any Kashmir watcher will tell you, the Pathribhal fake encounter, a case that still awaits justice. Also, Sanjay Saraf. Sanjay Saraf is, interestingly, a Kashmiri pandit, a politician with Ram Vilas Paswan's Lok Jan Shakti party. But Saraf is an interesting character. He enjoys a good personal equation with Hurriyat representative Sayyed Ali Shah Gilani. In fact, in 2014, there was a controversy when there were media reports, and even Mr. Gilani seemed to endorse them, that Saraf had carried a message from Mr. Modi to Sayyed Ali Shah Gilani. Sanjay Saraf later denied that. But it is a matter of fact that he does indeed enjoy a close rapport with Sayyed Ali Shah Gilani. Among others who met with the Home Minister was Shahid Siddiqui, editor Nayi Dunya, Kamar Agha, who's of course a senior journalist and defense expert, MJ Khan, now with the BJP, formerly with the Peace Party of Uttar Pradesh, and also interestingly, MM Ansari. MM Ansari was one of the 3 Kashmir interlocutors who was actually appointed during the UPA. So these are some of the people that Rajnath Singh was meeting as part of his Track 2 initiatives even before he left for Srinagar. And as he left for Srinagar, there you can see more pictures. He met with the PDP, the Congress, the National Conference, other civil society activists, making an open invite. Anyone who wants to come his doors were open. How should we read this, and will the separatists meet him halfway? The separatists were under house arrest today. We understand that talks will only happen in stage two once the violence or the cycle of violence is broken. But let's see how to read this new outreach. Let's introduce our guests. Nalin Kohli of the BJP is with us. Junaid Matu of the National Conference is with us. Tavleen Singh, who's of course been an author of books on Kashmir, a journalist, senior journalist, is also with us. With me in the studio, two of the gentlemen who did meet with Mr. Rajnath Singh, Kamar Agha and Ashok Bhan. These were among the two who did meet with Mr. Rajnath Singh as part of his exploratory talks on Jammu and Kashmir. And of course, Colonel Ajay Shukla, defense analyst, is with us as well. Nalin, how do we read this shift? It seems like the BJP started from a very hardline position, completely softening your position along the way, now making a kind of unconditional, open-ended invitation for talks. What finally convinced the government to make this shift?
Well, first of all, I don't agree with your initial comment. It said the government may be confused. There is no confusion. I think the lines are very clear and they are unequivocal. Whatever can happen, will happen, has to happen within a certain framework. That framework can't be beyond the constitution, it can't be extra constitutional, it has to be within that diameter. The second issue is, consistently the BJP stand from the time of Prime Minister Vajpayee to Prime Minister Modi, which is being reiterated by the Home Minister, Kashmiriya, Jamhuriyat, Insaniyat. That is the broad contours within which it is. Third, can they be the involvement of anyone who perpetrates violence? The starting point cannot be, if there is violence, then the security forces, if they are attacked, they are incumbent, they are obliged to prevent a situation that could become even worse. Okay. So if they take and use any kind of form and it leads to any kind of, you know, collateral damage, students get hurt, etc. The question to be asked is, who's putting them on the streets? That's not representative of the entire Kashmir Valley, because people voted there. However, as long as violence comes to an end, the security forces need not be out on the street. If there is a scope for anyone within the framework of constitution, that's always existed. There has been never a ban on it. There's never been a stoppage.
So you do not, you do not agree that this is a shift. You do not agree that on the one hand, you've seen these very high-pitched debates on nationalism, on booking amnesty for sedition because Azadi slogans were raised. And now you're actually saying you are willing to talk to anybody who believes in Kashmiriyat, Insaniyat, Jamhuriyat. Now, I'm a little unclear. Does this mean, does this include separatists or it doesn't?
I'll answer that.
Yeah.
Again, any Indian citizen who looks at the primacy and believes that any solution can be found within the Constitution of India, how can you not have a conversation with that Indian citizen? But anyone who says that the Constitution is something we don't even acknowledge, we live beyond the Constitution, I think that person is in the realm of what we call is outside the scope of the Indian state in that sense. So why would the state? You have had people who have signed peace accords with the government of India, no less than Lal Denga.
Yes.
And that peace
and the
accord
Nagas
continued,
right now,
because
continue
it was
to
in
assert
the framework.
Their own sovereignty, by
the Nagas
way.
Right now,
even
but two important
Prime
things.
Did meet with
when
Mr.
you
Modi.
Say about the confusion, may I just add, but yeah. I just one thing to add. Prime Minister Modi's consistent thing has been Sabka Saath, Sabka Vikas. Mm. That's an all-inclusive message, slogan for every Indian citizen. Development, peace, that's inherent within that. So I think when we look at Ek Bharat, Shreshth Bharat, Sabka Saath, Sabka Vikas, they are not just political messages. These are messages that this government is committed to. And within that framework, anything that can be done for the betterment of Indian citizens will be done. That's why opposition parties, the ruling party, everyone, the union government led by the Prime Minister, the state government by Mehbooba Mufti, everyone is appealing for calm,
peace. I need
to
get National Conference just as soon as somebody tells me that the line is actually up. But let's start going to our studio guests. Okay, waiting for Junaid's line to come through. But in the meantime, let's get a sense from Ashok Bhan and Kamar Agha of the kind of exploratory moves that Rajnath Singh has been willing to make. You were among an informal delegation. I'm not attaching any formal importance to this. What did you pick up, Ashok?
I picked up a genuine concern for the situation on the ground. And I found some consistency between Prime Minister and Home Minister. They are on the same page on this.
And how did you conclude that?
I'll say that. It is after a while, when there was a policy of disengagement with Kashmiris for some time.
Yeah.
And the perception here in Delhi was that we should reach out to Pakistan, Kashmiris will follow. And that was a flawed policy. We have been advocating that it has to be a simultaneous
and that's
process.
Where I see the shift. I
yes,
think Mr. Modi
yes,
invested
yes,
all
yes,
his political
yes,
capital in
yes,
Pakistan and not, in fact, within
yes,
the Kashmir Valley.
Yes.
And that's changing.
Once that perception failed, policy perception failed with Pakistan, and situation turned very volatile. The new age unrest started, and this is the generation which is after 90 generation, and it was coming up. I was in June there for about 2 weeks. I appeared in the High Court after 27 years of my exile, and it was overwhelming response in the High Court with the judges and with the lawyers of my presence and my presentation in the court.
So
my point is, my point is that there is a perceptional shift, perceptive shift
in
reaching out to Kashmiris. And I have requested the Home Minister and the other concerned people that those who have for some reason chosen to remain away from the socio-political mainstream of the country,
those are the ones
they
who
have
to be
engaged
included. With. Which is the point I'm making to Nalin, that in a sense you can't keep engaging only with the mainstream parties, because then otherwise there would be no problem in the Kashmir
because
Valley.
Their space is very limited. Their political space is very limited.
That is an important point.
Sentiment is overwhelming.
Sentiment
has to be addressed.
Okay, now
that is overwhelming.
Let me get Junaid then. Junaid, you were critical on Twitter today about the PDP meeting with Rajnath Singh. I was a bit confused by that, because after all, Omar Abdullah led an opposition delegation to meet with the Prime Minister. You secured his most conciliatory, empathetic statement on Kashmir yet. So why are you critical of the PDP receiving the Home Minister and this visit?
Absolutely not. How can we be critical of PDP receiving the Home Minister when we met the Home Minister and met the Prime Minister too,
right,
and tried to lobby for what is happening now? I was critical of the fact that while the Home Minister was being received at the airport, a youth was killed, police personnel were injured, and nearly 140 hospital admissions took place today. That was not an occasion to welcome the Home Minister with bouquets of flowers. That doesn't mean that he isn't he isn't welcome to the valley. But you have to have a sense of occasion. That is the point I was trying to drive home, that this was not an occasion to go to the airport with bouquets of flowers. The situation of grief and mourning in the valley is far too grave for us to worry about welcoming dignitaries with bouquets of flowers, and that is what I meant.
Okay, but on the moot point of Rajnath Singh's tweet today, Junaid, and then I want to go to Tavleen. On his moot, you know, anyone is welcome to come to me at Nehru Guest House. How do you read that comment?
Are you asking me?
No,
well,
Junaid,
you know, I hope that this is the first step. I hope this is the first step towards the initiation of a larger, broad-based political process. You know Kashmir as well as anybody else does. You cannot come and sit in Kashmir and send out an appeal on Twitter when internet is down and expect that the Hurriyat leaders will come to you and meet you. That is not how conflicts work.
Yeah.
Conflicts are far too complex for an appeal to be made and to sit in Rajbhavan and everybody will
make
a beeline.
I mean, maybe not the Hurriyat, but maybe
that simple,
you know, professors at Kashmir University, lawyers, people who have sentiment. It doesn't have to be formalized with the Hurriyat as long as you're ready to engage with the sentiment.
That's right.
You know, so I think we make too much
and
of
that
whether
is why I said,
talks are formal or not,
Junaid. And that is why I said I hope this is a first step towards the initiation of a much more complex and, a dialogue process of a higher intensity and of a higher formality. But I also want to say that on a day when the Home Minister has arrived, we've again seen one youth being killed.
Yeah.
We have seen around 3 to 4 of them being admitted with critical injuries, 140 hospital admissions today, including those of police and security forces personnel.
And also a militant strike.
I just find it a little odd that the Hurriyat leaders are under house arrest while the Home Minister is appealing to them, appealing to everybody per se. I mean, and he hasn't excluded the separatist leaders, that they should come and meet him.
Okay.
How does somebody come and meet you and talk about something?
So we'll take that to Nalin in a moment.
So I think there needs to be a greater realization.
So we'll take that to Nalin in a moment.
Sure.
Nalin, give me a second. Let me just take comments around the panel and we'll come back to you. Tavleen, how do you read what's happening? We have seen variations of responses over the last 47 days. We now seem to be seeing a much softer approach.
Well, I actually don't agree with you on soft and hard. I actually believe there's been no policy on Kashmir for the past 2 years. And what we're seeing now is the result of that. There was a real chance for the Prime Minister to begin anew in Kashmir. He didn't have responsibility for the mistakes that had led to the problem. And he should have, right in the beginning when there was peace in the valley, helped and shown that he cared, for instance, with flood relief. You know, there was no effort made to show that Delhi cared enough. Junaid knows better than anybody else. There were people devastated by that flood who got no relief for a year. Then you have a PDP-BJP government, which is a huge new beginning, and still no policy. And I actually believe that if the Prime Minister had said, look, you're not going to redraw the borders of India ever again, get that through your head. Other than that, we're ready to talk to you about anything.
Yeah.
But there cannot be talks as well as violence. You know, you can't put children in the streets with stones in their hands. Who are they going to talk to? Who is Rajnath Singh going to meet?
Yeah.
The elected representatives can't walk in their own constituencies.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just optics. There's no policy. And to go back to Insaniyat, Jamhuriyat, etc., shows that there's no policy, because if Vajpayee had been Prime Minister, he'd have thought of something new by now.
Okay, that's interesting that you can't keep flogging the Insaniyat. You're actually saying it's almost like a dead horse, a platitudinous little phrase that everybody falls back on. Okay, so let me get Kamar Agha and Ajay on that. Kamar, you also met with Rajnath Singh along with Ashok Bhan and all those many names that we read out. Do you think Kashmiriyat, Jamhuriyat, Insaniyat has become a tired old phrase, that the resonance it had when Vajpayee first used it in this kind of radical way today has become a cliche? That's what Tavleen's arguing.
No, you see, it's a symbolic gesture, you know, that we are ready to talk to you know, come
forward.
And
symbolism is important.
Symbolism is very important. So that was, he was just giving it, you know, to the people, you know, stay up and come, you know, and whatever you have demands, come, put,
you
can sort it out, you know.
If all the separatists are out, now let's first, we are all old enough on this panel and know Kashmir enough to know that when Rajnath Singh says on Twitter, come meet me, it's not like Mirwais Omar Farooq and Sayyid Ali Shah Gilani are going to say, hello, here we are at Nehru Guest House. Yes. But it's symbolic. It's trying to say something. Ajay, isn't it marking a shift in approach?
I think that this is an ill-considered approach.
Why?
It's a knee-jerk
You've been arguing
reaction.
For engagement. Now he's trying
exactly.
for engagement. He's damned if he does. He's damned if he doesn't.
No. I've been arguing for an engagement. And I welcome the engagement, but I believe that the engagement should have been planned better and executed better. When you have a sort of an outreach of this kind, you first have back channel contacts, you decide who you're going to meet, you say the right things before you actually go there. You don't tweet. This is not some social media engagement that you're carrying out. You're doing conflict resolution essentially. So what I believe should have been done was, first contact should have been made. Mr. Rajnath Singh's program of visits and who he's going to meet, and he obviously cannot meet the separatist group in this first meeting. But there are social groups in Kashmir. There are people who have high credibility
among. Don't you think it was a tweet of intent? Like, I didn't take it literally. I thought it was a tweet of intent or signaling a change of approach.
It was the absence of effective track to outreaches and the fixing of meetings that should have been done before he actually
Okay, quick
there.
Comments from Ashok and Kamal, and then I want to go to Nalin. Yeah.
You know, there is a shift in it. Number one, you know, he has already met the opposition in Delhi, you know, opposition parties.
Right.
He has already, we had a debate.
And he's going and meeting them again now.
No, he's here, the idea was, you know, he will go there and meet civil society groups, especially, you know. That's why he said, you know, that I'm staying such and such place, come and meet
the
lawyer,
to meet signals of willingness to meet people you typically would not meet as Home Minister. Ashok, quickly add to that, and then Nalin.
I will say this, that his outreach in the present context is very important.
But Ajay is arguing the outreach is not well prepared.
No, that's
more homework was needed. Any of us on this panel could have given him a list of professors and lawyers. He should
says that
be.
It is premature. I agree with him that it is slightly premature. But the main intent of Home Minister was to go there and try to normalize the situation. First and foremost, he said to us also, and we also emphasize, that first and foremost priority is to normalize the situation. Thereafter, we will do.
So, end the cycle of violence.
Yes,
but we are still trapped right now in that.
Right.
While it may be statistic
counting. And he is very well intentioned on that. And he's very sincere
but,
on that.
But you know, I just want to say that, you know, it's become almost like this tally count that the media does. But for people, it's real flesh and blood. It's everyday violence. It's scores of people injured on both sides of the trenches.
I wish to make one more point.
I just want to get Nalin. Nalin, I just want to make the point that to me, among the wisest statements that I've heard over the last 47 days came from the Northern Army commander, General Huda, who actually said, hang on, let's all step back. Let's all sit at the table together. And he named everybody. Before the government named separatists, he did. You know, and he can't be called anti-national. And I think I'm a little confused by the BJP, because you can't have this high-pitched nationalism construct on the one hand, and, oh, we'll reach out to anybody who wants to talk to us, including separatists, on the other, Nalin.
Well, some of it is amusing when I hear it, and I'll tell you why I find it amusing. First of all, this entire thing is based on a premise that this tweet was aimed only at a segment, and that's the separatists. And there's a presumption there. The second is that you're looking at it, no, now the tweet is for the separatists, now therefore it's been ill-conceived and it was not better planned, as Ajay is putting it. Now, this is not a military operation, as Ajay was, you know, which is his area, has been probably of expertise, that you plan everything down there, what is going to happen, who's going to go there, etc. This is a political statement coming from the Home Minister of the country. If he doesn't put anything out there, then the criticism is, oh, he went there without even saying
it. There you have a point.
If he meets one media house, wait, the minute you have one media house, then the others say, oh, he chose one particular media house, that's a fourth. If he puts out a tweet, then it is who's on Twitter. And you have Junaid saying that I put out a whole set of things on Twitter today. So, I mean, at one end, Twitter is seen, the other end, Twitter is not effective. I think, you know, what important is what you said. It's a statement of intent. That as the Home Minister, my doors are not shut.
Yeah.
Someone wants to come and meet me, I'm not shutting my door. And I think that's the big thing. I don't see it like a military operation in any way.
Yeah,
the second part is, is Kashmiriyat, Jamhuriyat and Insaniyat jaded? Well, I mean, if there is just, you know, you could say that every statement of truth can be said 1,000,000 times and it still resonates as well. To me, these three words resonate a lot.
So Kashmiriyat, for what Jammu and Kashmir was,
and isn't.
Can I get the view on that?
One second,
the one who called it jaded.
Insaniyat.
Yeah, okay.
How can we have anything which is beyond humanity? And Jamhuriyat. We are a constitutional democracy. And you have an elected government there. If these three things are jaded, then, you know, I don't know what solution anyone wants to speak of or what is their theory.
So, Tavleen, you need to come in on that. Tavleen needs to come in on that and then Junaid. Tavleen, I think that's a fair point. The point is that there's a certain humanism that needs iteration, and it may seem old to us because we are journalists covering this story, but maybe to people who have not seen that humanism, who have not seen that expression of insaniyat, it's not jaded.
And from this government,
Steve,
BJP,
you've got it
government.
All wrong. When Atal Bihari Vajpayee became prime minister, the situation was different. There was a situation in which he actually also made a statement, and I was at that point interviewing for my book, the equivalent of Burhan Wani, who was a man called Ashfaq Dar or something. And he said that he was very impressed with Vajpayee because Vajpayee was truthful enough to say, agar masjidon se siyasat hogi, to mandiron se bhi hogi. Vajpayee was very aware of what had gone wrong. And he'd actually shown a certain honesty and an understanding of the problem when he uttered these words. At the moment, they're being uttered because they've got no new policy. The situation has changed. We have jihadi violence all over the world. No country in the world is going to help Kashmir become an independent jihadi republic. The situation is changed. Our government seems not to know this.
So let me get Junaid on that. Junaid, a point made again and again by several commentators is about radicalism, about Islamism. But when you say this to the Kashmiri politicians, they will say, as Omar Abdullah said to me, no, the calls are from the masjids, but they're still for Azadi, they're not for anything else. And yet, we cannot be in denial about the fact that there is an entire new generation that is more radicalized than before. And you said to me, Junaid, and I will never forget that, you said I too could have become a militant. Do you remember when you said that? You said I was one of those young Kashmiri men.
Yes.
I could have picked up the gun.
Yes. And I'm here today because fortunately I didn't end up that way. But a lot of people my age actually had no option. They saw no future within the system and they were forced to resort to that option. And that doesn't mean I condone that option. But the fact of the matter is that, as I have told you in a lot of our conversations, that radicalization is not only a global phenomenon. Radicalization also flourishes and thrives in conflict zones. And we've seen that. We've seen that around the world in the Middle East. If you have peaceful countries in the Middle East, there is, you know, almost no radicalization. But if you have countries torn apart by conflict, radicalization flourishes. I just, Barkha, and this is a very interesting thing that I wanted to tell you. I just spoke to the family of a young Kashmiri student, Tausif Ahmed of Sopur, who's been booked for sharing a Facebook post in Chhattisgarh. I think he's been in the lockup for more than 3 weeks now.
Wow.
The charge sheet is not being presented. He's in a 10x6 cell. He's an MBA student. And the cardinal sin he committed is he shared a Facebook post and he was booked under the case of sedition, a law that has been reinvented and brought out of the dungeons under this regime. Now, please tell me, Barkha, my moot point is that MBA student who has apologized for sharing that Facebook post,
what did the post
is
say?
In a lockup like
just
a terrorist.
Just out of curiosity, I think sedition is a rubbish law and should go into the dustbin, but what did the post say?
Yes, but Barkha, do you not expect him to be radicalized? How easy is it for that guy to be radicalized?
What did the
we
post
have made repeated
say?
Appeals
Junaid, do you
for
know what the post said?
I have an answer.
Okay, Nalin, why don't you take
I would
that?
Like to come in.
Nalin, why do you take
but
that?
He has apologized. Whatever the post said.
I'll tell you. No,
whatever the post said. He has apologized.
I don't know what the post said. I'm genuinely asking what the post said. I don't know what the post said.
Anyway, maybe. So I'm going to come to a counter.
If we are putting people in prison for sharing Facebook posts, regardless of what the posts are,
I heard you. I've heard that, but now you are repeating a point.
Then
you're repeating a point.
Okay, let Nalin take that. And in the meantime, can we look up what the post said actually?
Yeah. I will answer this straight on its head. I find that a dangerous argument. I'll tell you why. Because then all the Kashmiri pundits who had out, they would have every reason to pick up a gun and go and start shooting people. I mean, this kind of mentality that we have started building, oh, there must be a reason for someone picking up a gun. That is the problem, and I'll say it bluntly on the show, that I think Islam faces. That you are a religion that should be respected for being
wrong.
A global religion. You have people picking up guns. So therefore, I don't believe in this concept. Because then there is some places the same thing has happened without something. So a Facebook post is for me to pick up a gun and become a militant.
So let me get in marriage.
How many of them pick up a gun?
Okay, I think he didn't talk about picking up a gun. He said radicalism. He said radicalization. Okay, 1 minute. Yeah.
Barkha, I didn't talk about picking up
that's
a gun.
That's what I said. I said you spoke about getting radicalized.
Are we going to pit Kashmiri students? Are we going to put Kashmiri students with impeccable academic records in prison under sedition for sharing Facebook posts and accept that there should be magical reconciliation in the valley? Please tell me how that is not a self-contradictory intention. And one more thing, when you talk about why Kashmiri pundits didn't pick up the gun, ask Kashmiri Muslims. There is a lot of venom coming from a fringe element in the Kashmiri pundit community as well. Obviously, because
okay,
of
now hang on. I've got some details of this Facebook post, guys. I need to come in here now. Listen, please listen to me. I just looked up this Facebook post. Some of it is not really wise in an inflammable situation to repeat on a national broadcast, so I won't. Let's just say that it was secessionist in tone and used a coarse illustration against India. I'm going to approximate it here because I don't want to inflame sentiments in the valley on either side of the debate. So Ajay, I want to bring you in. I mean, this is a Facebook post that you and I would not like the idiom of. We would not like the illustration. It's definitely anti-India. It's definitely, to use that oft-repeated phrase, anti-national. But I don't know that I still believe in sedition. And Junaid makes the argument that these are the kind of things that only exacerbate the problem.
Look, one thing we all need to be clear about, and I'm sure Mr. Rajnath Singh is aware of this, that he has gone to visit a part of India that wants to secede from the Union of India.
Yeah.
He's pretending, and Nalin Kohli is pretending, that they're only going to engage with people who are ready to talk within the four corners of the Constitution. But the fact is, as everyone knows and as everyone who's watching the program knows, is that this outreach is directed towards people who are completely looking for something outside the four corners of the Constitution.
Right. Yeah.
So there's a huge contradiction here between the BJP's Home Minister and the BJP's spokesperson. Both are trying to address different
Nalin, half a second, I'm taking last comments from everybody.
What Nalin needs to realize is that he's being watched by people in Kashmir as well. As far as making statements and inflammatory statements and so on goes, this is part of what is going on right now. This is part of the situation that we are trying to address. And when we say that the Home Minister should have done his groundwork better before going to Kashmir, Nalin Kohli is dismissing it as a military operation and scoffing at the military. In fact, it is because of the military's systematic approach to things that this, the Kashmir is still with us today. So I would suggest be more respectful to the military.
Okay, now 20 seconds to everybody. I'm really out of time.
I need to come in because there are some personal comments there.
Okay, Ashok, I'll come to you in half a second.
I'll also say it with the same conviction, even though I may not agree with, you know, the misplaced confidence that Ajay is showing, but with the same conviction, I'll say that no solution that has worked out in independent India, whether it was Mizoram, whether it was the Punjab problem, whether it was also the third Assam Accord, happened outside the constitution and the framework of the constitution. I'm also watched in the rest of India. That's what I will presume, that this is
no, let me come okay. Let me come in.
I'm not pretending. I'm speaking with the conviction.
I'm out of time.
I'm saying
the honest outreach theory by Rajnath Singh is to this extent, he said that all stakeholders would be
welcome.
And he told me that even you are a stakeholder because you are a Kashmiri Pandit. He was willing to fix the meeting today, but because of the paucity of the time with him, he could not meet the delegation of Kashmiri Pandit.
So we're seeing intent right now. I think what Ajay is arguing is we're not seeing enough homework.
Everybody in Kashmir. And he is meeting every stakeholder. He has recognized even Kashmiri Pandits as this stakeholder.
It's true. I fully support him. Yes. You know, this is what we have discussed in detail with him. Yeah. The problem is very difficult. Large number of youth, you know, is virtually Talibanized in that region. And the movement is, you know, leaderless. Who to talk? The biggest. Hurriyat they don't believe in Hurriyat. Hurriyat is part of the problem. It is generally considered within the BJP circle, which is true also. The PDP and BJP. National Conference, both, you know, failed to tackle the situation. Both are should be blamed for this, you know. I believe.
So let me get Junaid in on a last comment and then Tavleen can wrap this up for us. Junaid, very quickly, 20 seconds. I really do have to close.
Well, Barkha, I mean, not just to Nalin, but to the government and BJP as well. When we kept talking about a solution within the framework of the constitution, when we kept talking about the restoration of the pre-1953 status or the restoration of autonomy, the same party said that is out of the question. Their national spokesperson said that is out of the question. So if there are Pakistani flags out there today, if there is a growing specter of radicalization, as much as we should condemn that, they should look within. Had they said what they are saying today, maybe the situation wouldn't have been this bad.
Tavleen, quick last word. I have to close then.
I would like to see a policy before you make these trips to Srinagar as symbolism or tokenism, because the situation is too serious for tokenism and symbolism.
We will leave it there. Rajnath Singh is going to be there tomorrow as well. We will see what emerges from that meeting. Tavleen, Junaid, Nalin, and of course Ajay and Kamal Agha, Ashok Bhan, two of those who met with Rajnath Singh. Thank you for joining us on the Buck Stops here.